This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show on Twitch tonight. Search for the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. Bleck and Abdallah with you till 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. The phone number, 312-332-3776. And we start tonight with baseball news. And actually, we have some news tonight. It seems like each night, each day that we host shows here at ESPN 1000, we look at baseball and we say, what do you got? And baseball says, nothing. Today, it's a little something. MLB proposing a 60-game season. That's the latest offer to the players from the owner's side. Major League Baseball making moves. It sounds like we actually had positive momentum earlier today. If you're just getting in your car, you're ending your work day, and you're trying to find out what took place in the news today, it seems like baseball actually took a positive step today.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's going to be the owners presented to the players 60 games prorated. So they're going to get all their money for all 60 games. It's going to start mid-July and carry through to September. 16 playoff teams as opposed to the regular amount of, 10? Yeah, so 16 teams for the playoffs. And then what will happen now is the players will say no, and the players will propose their amount, probably something around like 72 games. It's just a weird number because eventually, like Buster only tweeted right after all this stuff was coming out, is that they'll probably settle somewhere around 65 games. The players will come back and say, we want 72 games because there's enough time. If you say yes right now to our proposal, you know, if we propose this on Friday or we propose this tomorrow on Thursday and you say yes right now, we've got enough time to play 72 games because we can get to spring training next week. We can get to, you know, whatever, and we can get started, and then we can play because you owe us the amount, because in the March agreement, you said we're committed to playing as many games as possible. So if you're committed to playing as many games as possible, then that would mean you should be playing 72 or 74 or whatever they come up with. Then the owners will say, no, they'll stall, they'll take 3-4 days, and then they'll say, how about 65 games or 66 games prorated? And the players will be like, well, now we only have time for 65 games, so sure, let's just do that. Because you stalled enough, and now we'll just do that.
So it's like every time we think that we have some positive news, we then get back to the same spot that we were at to begin with.
I would say
the positive momentum, though, from today and from the news piece is that the union is waiving its right to grieve Major League Baseball. I think that's something that's new.
If they agree to it.
That's something that's new. Outside of that, it's back to the 60 games, 72 games. Oh, maybe we'll play. Maybe we won't play. You know, once again, it's the same old thing with baseball and what we've seen over the course of the last month. It's the one sport that should be up and going. You know what I'm saying? Like, theoretically, the easiest to socially distance. Theoretically, they were the ones getting ready to start their season when everything hit the fan back in early March. Right? Like, of all the sports, this is the one sport that should be up and running. We've seen baseball leagues in other parts of the world up and running successfully during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, like, I understand that there's a blueprint there if they wanted to actually get this done. And if you've noticed, the proposal suggests that we could have baseball July 19th. That tells me not much ramp-up time, right? Like, today we're sitting here June 17th. So about a month. If they agree tomorrow, we will have baseball in 1 month, basically. So you're telling me, of all the sports and all the planning that needs to be done to actually get up and running, baseball should already be at the stage. We should be at the stage where players are reporting they're getting ready for the season. We get real baseball.
Yeah, we should be, but people are greedy. You know, like, owners didn't want to pay prorated salary for 100 games. They didn't want to pay it for 110 games. They didn't want to pay the players their full salary because there's no fans. And it's not just, oh, okay, well, you know, Mike Trout is owed X amount of money and, you know, this guy's owed this amount of money, so we just play that and that's the only owner's cost. No, the owners have to pay for, and I'm not trying to sympathize with the owners, but they have to pay for all this testing equipment. They have to pay for all the new measures that's going to be taking place to make sure they're social distancing. They have to pay for all this, the hand sanitizer, anything that you need. Anything.
Did you just really do the hand sanitizer?
I'm just trying to think of stuff you're going
to
need.
You had to pay for the hand sanitizer?
Look, I'm just trying to think of stuff you're going to need.
Man, you sound like
maybe
an owner.
Maybe little plexiglass
things. Coming up
things.
With a whole list
but
of things
no,
that you got expense
point.
And now.
I've been thinking about this, right? I've been
you
thinking
poor
about this.
Owner you.
No, no,
look
no.
at you.
No,
owner
no,
guy.
No, 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 no,
Abdallah,
no,
the owner guy.
No, 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 no.
Didn't know this.
We've established on the Black and Abdallah program that you are pro owners. We've established this. You are pro owners. You are pro owners. You are pro owners. You are pro owners.
Pro owners. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that there is a lot to go into to this. I don't feel bad for them. I don't. They should be paying for this. What I was thinking of is this: if Jeff Bezos owned a baseball team, right? Jeff Bezos, richest man in the world.
Yep.
Multi-billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Owned a baseball team.
Would they be robot players?
No.
Okay. Because you know Bezos and Amazon, they're trying to phase out humans, right?
I get that.
They're trying to get the robots to deliver the packages. Have you seen the drones that deliver the packages?
I have.
Have you seen them going down the street? The little...
The dog robots?
The little robots go down the street.
They tell you to keep away from each other.
And then they give you the package. And, it like burps it out.
Uh-huh. Here's a pizza cutter.
And then there's the package.
Here's
and
a pizza cutter. We just got a new pizza cutter.
Right down the
by
street.
By the way, it changed my life.
Did
the
it?
Pizza cutter.
Was it one of the big ones that you can rock back and forth?
No, it's not. I don't know. It's
Those
not. But
sick.
It's a. It's not one with a handle. It's got like a plastic thing over the top. So you go like this instead of like this.
So back to the baseball players who are human.
So,
because I think if Bezos owned a team, he would try and do it with robots.
Well, regardless, I'm trying to mention a rich dude who we know is known for owning something else.
Richest dude in the world.
Dude in the world. He's making billions off of Amazon. Y'all are sitting at home ordering stuff off of Amazon. Guess who gets that check? Jeff Bezos. Okay. If one of his endeavors happens to be a baseball team and he's losing money on that baseball team, he's making it up in other places. None of these guys just own baseball teams. The Ricketts don't just own the Cubs. They have many other endeavors that they're a part of that they are probably making money off of. Otherwise, they would not be billionaires. People are billionaires. They've got their funds diversified. They've got stuff in the stock market. They've got real estate. They've got their main companies, whatever. And they happen to own a baseball team. So you can't tell me that you're not going to be able to supplement your income. You're a smart business person. So you lose money on this endeavor. You're going to make it up on this endeavor. And if you don't like your asset, sell it. You can sell your baseball team and you're just not that cool guy who also owns the baseball team anymore.
Well, I think Carmen said it earlier today.
Alex Rodriguez wants to buy a baseball team.
Yeah,
so does Jennifer Lopez. Everybody wants to buy a baseball team. Mark Cuban's wanted to buy a baseball team for a while.
I've heard it from Carmen. I've heard it from other people as well. And I think it's dead on the money. You know, at what point did baseball owners think that they were the only ones who run a business during the COVID-19 pandemic who are not going to turn a profit in this year? Like, they're living in a world where they think that they are the only industry, they're the only owners of a business that need to turn a profit in this year when every other business under the sun is just trying to get by. People are just trying to get by, trying to do what you can. Restaurants are doing carry out. Different businesses are trying to operate the way they used to, but in a different fashion, right? People are not coming into offices. You got to get creative, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen any creativity from the owner's side at all in trying to get this season completed. In fact, all they've done is try and put the players in a situation where they have to do what they are asked from the owners as like they're hostages in a situation where it's either play under these conditions or don't play baseball at all. Baseball player, don't be a baseball player. When this entire time, where's the creativity from the owner's side to just get this up and running? Like, there in the articles, Paul Sullivan wrote in the Chicago Tribune, others have written in other places, it's okay, you're okay with just not playing the season. You think you will lose less by just not playing baseball, however many teams that is, one or eight, whatever that number is, how is that a possible thing? How, like, you're the only business during COVID-19 that we can't run our business because we're not going to turn a profit. Well, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of businesses out there. They're not going to turn the profits they thought they would. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you look at this whole situation, the fact that we get 60 games as a proposal now and we have to wait for a counter proposal. Tony Clark and Rob Manfred, they met yesterday in Arizona. That's a positive step because meeting face-to-face is important, and it seems like they're actually turning this into something that they can get done, opposed to just back and forth, people speaking out of turn. Now, let's get this on the calendar.
Yeah,
let's get it up and running.
The owners, to me, Chris, are like Michael Jordan and his house here in Highland Park in Illinois, right? Michael Jordan's house is on the market for close to $15 million. He said he's never going to sell it for less than that because he wants that much money for it, you know? But it's not like Michael Jordan's hurting for cash. He makes hundreds of million dollars a year off his brand, the shoes, whatever else he's got money in, right? The owner of the Bobcats. He's got money elsewhere. The point is that he can let that house sit and depreciate as long as he wants to. You want a house with a 23 on the gate with 19 bathrooms and 9 bedrooms? No, nobody wants that.
Who needs 19 bathrooms?
I don't know. I'm just looking at it on Zillow right now. 19 bathrooms, 9 bedrooms. Really,
give me the listing.
It's right here.
No, so give me some of the stats.
$14.855 million. NBA superstars Michael Jordan's 7-acre estate is as legendary as his heir is himself. The 56,000 square foot property.
It's really just a random Zillow posting.
No, I mean, this is the, I looked up Jordan listing. Yeah, it's got a full weight room in it. It's got a full basketball court. It's got a movie thing.
If you go to the bottom, doesn't it show the different times they've reduced the price?
It probably does. But the point is that he can just
not that I spend a lot of time on Zillow, but I kind of do. So I think they give you that, all that information.
Yeah, so
right there.
It went down and then it went back up.
Oh.
Yeah, so he listed it for $16 million, and then he moved it up to like $24
million.
And then
no buyers?
Down to $16 million. And now it's at, and then it went to 14. Now it's at the 4. So this has been, so he's had this price on this house, $14,855. Since 2015, for 5 years.
He
can just let it sit there, right? And some of the owners can just let their baseball teams just sit there. There are 8 owners, according to Ken Rosenthal, who are like, we don't need to play. We don't need to play. And they're the owners that are like Michael Jordan in his house. And he can just say, just let it sit there. I don't care. I don't need to make money on it. It'll still be there when I come back. There'll be profits there when we come back next year. Who cares?
Do you think if we pool our resources, if we could offer like $10 million?
No.
He'll bite on it?
Nope.
No?
No. He's taken $14,855,000 and no cents.
You know, the other thing that you're talking about, the different owners, if Bezos owned a team and it was a robot team, because, I mean, it's Amazon, right? So you'd have drones flying.
Just assume it's,
flying the baseball from the mound to the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be all drone operated.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that Bezos-owned baseball team would fare against everyone else in Major League Baseball? Like, would they be able to take down the cheating Astros? Would they be able to take down the Cubs, always crying poor? Would they be able to take down the young guns, the White Sox, the young players, up-and-coming star team?
The only team that they would have a problem with is the Angels and Mike Trout. Because Mike Trout is, in fact, a robot himself.
So you're saying Trout is Terminator?
Trout is, yes. He's been sent from the future. He just does it. He's just waiting it to be activated. Like, you have to say the code word, and he'll be activated. Like you have to go up to him and be like, lemon drop. And he'll just be like, and he'll just assume robot.
He takes out a knife and cuts open into his forearm, and there's a bunch of cables and different tools coming out of it.
Well, I mean, he's five tools.
Yeah,
five tools. Yeah, five tools, right? Five tools. Yeah, I said we talk sports.
The Chicago Bulls have two names that we've heard that they're interested in for their next head coach. One of those names we'll interview with the New York Knicks. Are the Bulls in trouble next?
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
teams in the Eastern Conference that are usually, throughout the history of the NBA, you know, in the last 30 years, really, outside of the Bulls making an Eastern Conference Finals, recently with Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Tom Thibodeau, and the crew, you know, the Bulls and the Knicks for the last 20-plus years have been somewhat irrelevant in the NBA, especially in the Eastern Conference. And what's interesting about that is these two teams are trying to rebuild this offseason. In this COVID-19 pandemic offseason, both teams have hit the bottom, now looking to rebuild. Did you see the news from Shams Charania earlier today? The Knicks plan to interview 76ers assistant coach Ime Udoka for their head coaching job. The Knicks have a head coaching position that's open, sources tell The Athletic and Stadium. Shams Charania reported this earlier today. Now, the Chicago Bulls do not have an open coaching position at the moment.
Yeah, they do.
They have a head coach in Jim Boylan.
Okay.
He is the head coach for the Chicago Bulls at the moment.
Oh, okay.
A name that I've heard behind the scenes that the Bulls are interested in to fill Jim Boylan's spot whenever they let him go is Udoka, 76ers assistant, who spent a lot of time with Greg Popovich in the Spurs system as well. You know, so you look at this from Shams Charania and you say, hold on. Are the Knicks really getting a leg up on this because they have a vacant coaching position? They're actually interviewing for head coaching candidates. Udoka's going to be a guy who's going to be coaching in that campus setting in Orlando when the NBA resumes. So you would like to get this stuff rolling before they go and get put in quarantine and get ready for their completion of their season if he stays with the 76ers. So if you're the Chicago Bulls and you're looking at Jim Boylan hanging around the Advocate Center, A, why is he still here? And B, are the Knicks going to be able to hire the guy that you wanted to hire? Is it a concern?
No, I don't think so. I'm of the belief that it's Adrian Griffin's job to lose at this point. I also think that the Knicks are more likely to go with Tom Thibodeau. You know, he's had success with younger teams. He's had success with teams in his first few years. You know, we saw his success here with the Bulls when he first came here until he was let go. And ultimately, I think that he, if you're starting a new franchise, but you're bringing in a new regime, he's a good guy to bring in to work with your young talent, develop that young talent. I don't know if he's good enough to win you a championship. Ultimately, they fell short. The front office will say because of Derek's injury, you know. And to his credit, Thibodeau has talked about how he's learned a lot in the last few years being out of coaching, you know, as far as load management is concerned. You know, he's been around Doc Rivers a lot, a friend of his, you know, with the Clippers. So I feel like the Knicks are going to need an established guy. The Bulls could always go with the established guy, but they're not going to bring Thibodeau back. That's not going to happen. So I think they're going to go with Adrian Griffin. I think that the Knicks are going to go with Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, there may be an odd man out, but there's still room to, you know, there's still a lot of season left, I guess, quote unquote, for guys to lose their jobs and other jobs to be open. I don't think that the guys that that the Knicks are going to bring in a first-time head coach. I don't have any sources or anything like that. I just think that they want to go. They're the Knicks. They want to go with someone established. They want to go with someone who's going. But the other problem is, the flip side of that, is that Thibodeau wants a lot of control. And the Knicks brought in a few guys to bring in this front office. You know, they brought in an agent. They brought in a former agent. They brought in a few guys to head up that front office where Thibodeau might not have as much control as he wants, and they may butt heads later on, and they may see that. They say, hey, look, Thibodeau's going to want control of this roster. He's going to have ideas about who we should draft and all that kind of stuff. Maybe he's too loud of a voice in that GM room. Maybe we need a guy who's just going to focus on the coaching and, you know, ask for, when we ask for his input on prospects and that kind of thing on draft night, he'll give them. But ultimately, we want to be in control of this roster. And Thibodeau might want too much. So I could see both sides, but ultimately, I believe the reports that Tom Thibodeau is going to be the next Knicks coach.
So why, in everything that you just laid out for the New York Knicks, why wouldn't that apply to the Chicago Bulls?
Adrian Griffin's established.
Yeah, no, I mean, but he will be a first-time head coach when he gets that gig. And listen, he was here with the Bulls from 2010 to 2015 as an assistant under Tom Thibodeau. And at the time, people were saying that this is going to be a guy that's going to be head coach in the league. Watch him be the next Bulls head coach at some point. This was like in 2013 when people were suggesting that Thibodeau leave and Griffin can take over for Thibodeau.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you kind of look at the whole thing, I guess the one thing I would ask, though, is, You mentioned the Knicks wanting to win right away, wanting to have an established coach. Those are all things that I think are in play for the Bulls. I mean, it's not like this is going to be, and I know Arturis Karnišovas mentioned that rebuilds take time, and what we saw him do in Denver, it's taken time to get them to where they're at contending for the Western Conference title. That's taken time, what they did, but you know, this Bulls team has been rebuilding for quite some time, right? So, yeah. like to say we're only going to go after a coach who's going to be getting his first gig because we want to continue to rebuild, that's not necessarily the impression I get. Like, I guess I don't understand
why you mentioned
Thibodeau for the Knicks.
They're not going to bring in Thibodeau for the Bulls.
Well, I'm not saying that, but all the reasons you gave for him to go to the Knicks, why wouldn't those reasons apply to the Chicago Bulls?
Because he's been here before, and you're not going to bring him back.
So is there a coach who has experience that you would be interested in if you're a Bulls fan? Like, when I look at this whole thing, I just don't want them to miss on one of their top two candidates because they feel a need to be friendly and nice to Jim Boylan. Like, to me, that just move him along. Like, it's been long enough. Listen, you gave him a couple extra months when everyone expected him to be fired the moment the Gar-Paks regime let go of control.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that took place, Boylan's been here. He's not going to be your coach for the future. Move him along. Hire someone else so when things get up and running again, your program is ready to move forward. You don't want Boylan to still be... Listen, what was the excuse 3 weeks ago? The excuse 3 weeks ago was, well, we don't know if we're going to play again this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have an answer on that. You're not. Bulls are not. You're not quarantining. You're not doing anything.
Well,
you're not part of anything.
Well, are they doing something for like... Aren't they... Isn't there like some form of... Aren't they talking about doing something for the teams that aren't there?
What does it matter if Boylan's there for that? Let the new coach handle that.
I 100% agree. But if you hire the dude from the 76ers, he's not going to come in right away because they're in the playoff. You know.
Well, it depends. I think it's interesting. He's interviewing with the Knicks now.
Well, you can interview anybody you want to.
But Adam, what I'm saying is like if the interview goes well and the Knicks say, hey, you're going to be our head coach, he's not going back to the 76ers to finish out the season in the quarantine.
Well, also,
That's not happening.
Who's got a better chance
of winning
this?
He's going to just go run the Knicks.
Who's got a better chance of winning this? The Raptors or the 76ers?
I could argue both ways.
The Raptors. The answer is the Raptors.
The 76ers are going to go into it with one of the players who could completely dominate series. Joel Embiid healthy. Plus, think about what has kind of been the downfall to Embiid the last couple of seasons. You could argue that the grind of a season has gotten him to the point where by the end of the playoffs, he's on empty. Or you could throw it back in my face and say, well, maybe if Joel Embiid was in shape,
yeah,
he wouldn't be...
He's had 4 months to sit out, 3 months to sit out.
He wouldn't be worn down by the end of the playoffs if he kept himself in shape the entire time. So mm-hmm. if Embiid shows up at the campus in shape, ready to go, the Sixers have a puncher's chance to get out. I said it last night in the show. I think there are two teams that if they win the NBA title... Everyone's going to point to it being a fluky year in the NBA, and that's why you get the title that you get. And the two teams are the 76ers and the Rockets. I don't think people are going to give them the due respect if either of those teams win the championship in this season.
I think the Rockets people won't have that conversation about. They're one of the better teams in the West. They have an MVP on their team in James Harden. You know, you've got a lot of firepower there that I feel like the Rockets could win, and you'd be like, okay, that makes sense. They've been in it before, not in the finals, but they've been around it. They've been gone deep before. James Harden has had a bad history in the playoffs, but he has won an MVP before, so he could.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. If you want to join the show, the phone number is 312-332-3776. A quarterback list that is out has Kyler Murray ranked as the 11th best quarterback in the NFL. We'll talk young quarterbacks with you next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Salim and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Salim?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's going on?
So, yeah, not much. I wanted to comment on that Shams Charania tweet about them interviewing, the Knicks interviewing Emadoko. And I guess I'm looking at that tweet, and I think the key word is plan. Like, you can plan things. It's when, right? So just because that got released that they are planning on interviewing him, that could be, like, even in a couple of months. We don't know. I guess my thing is I'm not going to start panicking yet until I see more information. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's certainly fair.
I think that you, like, this is a whole wait and see. Like, you, we all know that Boylan's going to be out. Like, we all know it, but you got to wait. Like, there's no rush in any of this. It's not like, we got to hire everybody right now or else there's no hiring. No, you just wait and let this play itself out. Nobody's hiring anybody right now. They don't even know if they're going to start playing yet. Like, they still haven't decided whether or not they're going to officially start playing yet. So if they decide not to and they just end the season, then yeah, go ahead, start hiring people. But I don't see. I'm not worried about who the Bears are or the Bears, who the Bulls are going to sign as their head coach because they haven't started looking yet.
Salim, you know how this is going to work though. If the Bulls miss out on one of their top two candidates because they just have Boylan kicking around, people are going to be mad. They're going to be upset.
Certainly. That's always happens. I think to me it comes down to the biggest thing is getting rid of Jim Boylan. And there's probably like three or four names out there that I think if they replace him with, I don't think you can really be unhappy at that point. I mean, certain people have their preferences, but that's all there is preferences. There's no, I don't think there's really a wrong answer unless you go and hire, like, I don't know. I guess the wrong answer for some people will be like Tom Thibodeau. But to me, it's just like I said, in the end, the only wrong answer overall will be if they bring back Jim Boylan.
Thanks for the call, Salim. We appreciate it, man.
No, thank you. Have a good one.
You know, to the Tom Thibodeau point is I don't know if I would say that that's the wrong answer. I just wouldn't feel as inspired as a new voice would. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, I wouldn't be over the top. Like, I like Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's awesome. I've watched him eat an entire pepperoni pizza and talk basketball with him and Cap one night. It was cool. It was one of the coolest basketball experiences of my life. Thibodeau knows a lot about basketball. He understands the history of the game. He loves the game.
Loves pepperoni
pizza. He has stories
pizza.
About Kobe and LeBron and Derek, and it's awesome. He ate the entire pepperoni. Cap and I went to dinner before, so we weren't hungry, but he ate the entire thing. I was eyeballing it.
It's impressive. Did he offer you a piece?
Yes. Very nice guy, but we were full. But like,
you didn't just take the piece of pizza? You weren't just like a courtesy?
Nah, I mean, like
he offers you a slice. You're like, oh,
all right,
yeah.
So here's the situation, right? Cap went out to Bristol.
Yeah.
To do Gold Kawingo, where he had to be in studio for it to be on TV, right?
Yeah.
I went with him.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were there at the hotel, it was like during the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, there's one hotel in Bristol where
everyone stays.
Everybody stays there.
Thibodeau was on the like late NBA wrap-up show.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on the Sports Center with SVP.
Yeah.
It was like the other show.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it was like 1 a.m. So like he hasn't eaten.
And that restaurant's still open.
Oh, yeah. It stays open because they know the TV people are getting off the air and then they can come right over. So, you know, you get a table of Ozzie Guillen and there was some other TV personality with Ozzie because they had a baseball show. Thibodeau and Cap and I was sitting there, and then like Cassidy Hubbard was at a different table because she was on TV with Thibodeau. Like that's just what it was. But it was great because Thibodeau, like, his love for basketball is incredible. He's a great guy. But like, as a Bulls fan, I would look at it and be like, all right, I hope it works.
But why didn't you accept the pizza? I feel like if you just offer...
No, like, I just wasn't hungry. It was just, like really late.
Like, I was there...
We had a dinner. Like, I
was
just
there when Waddle and Sylvie were
doing... You know me. I'll throw down on pizza. I just wasn't feeling it in that moment.
I was there when Waddle and Sylvie did First Take, and they were doing the baseball meetings. Like, not like the MLB meetings. Like, all the baseball reporters were there.
Yeah.
For the all the main ones. Not like, not that Jesse's not a good reporter, but it was the main, it was like the national guys.
What are you doing
right?
there?
Well, it was like Pedro Gomez, Tim Kirchin, like all the, all
Jesse's
the,
one of those guys.
Well, he wasn't there. Okay.
Well, he should be.
And Pedro Gomez coughed all over my food.
Pre-COVID, though.
Pre-COVID. Yeah. He came
so
over.
So it was just a social faux pas. Now, in today's climate.
And he coughed, and like he covered his mouth when he was coughing.
We missed.
But I don't know. I can't see the flex. The what do they call them? The
droplets.
Droplets. That's what they're called now. The droplets. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm not eating the rest of this pizza.
You had Pedro Gomez droplets on your pizza?
I think I did. Yeah, and I didn't. This is pre-COVID, and I still wasn't like.
How'd it taste?
I didn't eat. The pizza was great. But I was not going to eat, you know, I wasn't going to eat it after he coughed all over it.
Would have been an experience.
No, I'm not going to, because then what if he was sick? What if
it
was
Pedro Gomez droplets?
What if it was a sick cough? How do I know?
You don't know.
I didn't want to get sick.
Droplet's a droplet.
And
if there's anything I've learned in the last 3 months is that. Let me ask you about this. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. You know how Chris Sims is releasing a quarterback each and every day?
Yeah.
Top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Trubisky was 41.
Was he really?
No, he was like 38.
So the column from today is today's number was Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray lands at the 12th spot. I said 11 earlier. I was wrong. It's 12. So Chris Sims ranks Kyler Murray 12th. And I saw this earlier today and I thought to myself, wow, I'm really in on Kyler Murray, but 12th, the 12th best quarterback in the NFL heading into his second season? It's a little high. It's a little high.
Is it?
And I'm very pro Kyler Murray.
So, is it?
So I wanted to play with you, young quarterbacks in the NFL. I want to play a little buy-sell with you. Can we play a little buy-sell?
Buy! Sell!
Can we play a little buy-sell with you? Can we?
Buy! Sell!
Wait, you okay over there? That's just Jim Cramer from,
I know what it
from
is.
CNBC. You know Jim Cramer from Mad Money?
I'm Jim Cramer, and welcome to my world.
You need to get in the game.
Fools are going to go out of business, and he's nuts. They're nuts. They know nothing.
I always like to say there's a bull market somewhere. And I'm
Mad Money, you can't afford to miss.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, Jim Cramer from CNBC.
Yeah, buy. Sell.
So I'm going to give you a name, a quarterback, a young quarterback. You tell me if you buy or sell.
Buy. Sell.
The quarterback. Okay. Can you get through this segment with Jim Cramer jumping in?
Yes.
With his buy, sell?
I think I can, yeah.
All right, so let's start with one that is clearly a name that gives hot opinions on both sides. Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, 24-year-old quarterback last year, 22 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, quarterback rating of 78.8, the lowest on the list. In fact, there's only one other quarterback who had a lower quarterback rating last year is Andy Dalton.
Okay.
So, Baker Mayfield, do you buy or sell Baker Mayfield going forward?
Whew, that's a tough one. I think since I only have a certain amount of cash at my disposal, I think I'm going to sell Baker Mayfield.
Sell.
I think I'm going to sell him. It's not that he had a horrible season. It was the way he looked having a horrible season. Like, I don't know if some of the throws he was making and some of the mistakes he was making are fixable. You know what I mean? I feel like that is who Baker Mayfield is going to be. I don't know if he can fix his mistakes. I don't know if he can cut down on his interceptions. I don't know if he can up his completion. I just don't think he's that. I don't think he's that great.
Let me ask you this. Is Baker Mayfield having the season he had
sell.
Last season if Matt Nagy is his head coach? If Doug Peterson is his head coach, if Cliff Kingsbury is his head coach,
sell.
Is Baker having that same type of season? I mean, Freddie Kitchens was awful last year.
Yeah, but Nagy, yes, because Nagy just likes to double down until you get it right. We saw that evidence with Trubisky. So, yeah, I think so. I think he does, yeah. Now, if you put him with, like, an Andy Reid, if you put him with the Kyle Shanahan, if you put him with Sean McVay, that's a different – my answer might be different. But based on the coaches you named, sell.
I feel like Baker is a...
Buy!
Wow.
And the reason Baker is because we've seen him excel.
You love young Browns quarterbacks.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel.
Buy!
I know. I have a thing
you
for,
bought
for
a
young
lot,
quarterbacks.
You bought a lot of Manziel stock.
That was college stock. You know.
So is this. What has he done since college?
I mean, he was really good his rookie
college?
Year.
And then what?
At the end of the season, he was really good his rookie year.
Okay. At the end of the season of his rookie year, he was really good.
I feel like this more has to do with Freddie Kitchens. We're going to talk about more young quarterbacks in the NFL coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
I'm Jim Cramer, and welcome to my world.
You need to get in the game.
Fools are going to go out of business, and he's nuts. They're nuts. They know nothing.
I always like to say there's a bull market somewhere, and I promise
Mad money. You can't afford to miss.
Don't buy. Don't buy.
Jim Cramer from CNBC. We're doing a little buy-sell on young quarterbacks here. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Buy.
Yes. We were talking about Baker Mayfield before. We split on that one. Abdallah went with a sell. I went with a buy. Let me give you the next name. Sam Darnold, 22 years old, last year in the NFL. He threw for 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, quarterback rating of 84.3. Sam Darnold, are you buying or selling this young quarterback?
I'm going to buy Sam Darnold. I think he's got talent. I think, the whole seeing ghost thing kind of, people make fun of him for that. And I just think that he's got talent. I think that, his coaching staff didn't do him any favors. I think if he gets some more weapons, he can be a little bit better. I liked what I saw from him at USC. I think he can. I'm buying Sam Darnold.
Buy, buy, buy!
I'm with you all the way.
Of course you are.
Well, it's not only did I watch him play at USC, I'm a USC fan, but when you see, he looks like here's the one thing you have to understand. If you see the turnovers and the sloppy play for the New York Jets, you might suggest this kid's in over his head. He's not going to be anything. He kind of played like that at SC too. And like the difference between Sam Darnold and most quarterbacks that look like that is that Darnold reminds me a lot of Jay Cutler. Like Jay Cutler was a football player. Was he a perfect quarterback? No. But when things got tough, He rose to the occasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that could run for a first down. He could make the smart play. He could do all these different things. And yeah, turnovers killed him at a certain point. Hopefully, Sam Darnold can eliminate the turnovers, because if he does eliminate those turnovers, he's going to be a really good quarterback. So I'm with you on Sam Darnold as a buy. How about this? Josh Allen. We're talking about young quarterbacks in the NFL. Kyler Murray was by Chris Sims ranked the 12th best quarterback in the NFL, and we were kind of looking at like, wow, Kyler Murray is the 12th best quarterback already. So we started talking about young quarterbacks. Josh Allen, he's 23 for the Buffalo Bills. Last year, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, quarterback rating of 85.3. Are you buying or selling Josh Allen?
I'm buying Josh Allen. You look at his rating. He went from 85, like you said, 85.3. But the year before that, he was at a 67.9. So he improved there. His yards per game improved by 20 yards per game. His total yards improved by over 1,000 yards. Total yards. He doubled his touchdowns. Now, he only played in 12 games the year before. But to go from 10 touchdowns to 20 touchdowns, to me, is promising. I like what the Bills are putting around him. They got a good defense. I like all that. I'm buying Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen.
Sell, sell, sell.
I'm going sell.
Wow.
Josh Allen? No,
really?
What I saw in
what
that playoff game, a little sloppy. And I get it.
He dropped his interceptions from 12. He only threw 9 interceptions last year.
Yeah, I mean, but the way they play, is that based on the fact that they're just a ball control offense with Sean McDermott and playing good defense, and that team was a playoff team? Like, okay, let me ask
you
this.
Listen, he's not going to light it up, but
you put Sam Darnold with the Buffalo Bills, how much better is Sam Darnold than Josh Allen? Am I crazy for thinking that way? Like, I feel like the situation is so much better for Josh Allen, and he doesn't really show me a whole lot.
Yeah, I think it is, but I think that that's the kind. Look, is he going to light it up? No. But he's not going to cost you games. He only threw 9 interceptions. His interception percentage went down from, I just lost the stat, from 3.8 to 2.0. So, look, I like what Josh Allen's doing. He's improving.
Don't buy.
He's improving.
Sell.
No.
Don't buy.
Saying buy. Play the buy one.
Buy.
Thank you.
Don't buy.
No.
Okay, next up, Kyler Murray. I think we both agree.
Buy.
Give
Murray,
me all
100%.
I want all the Kyler Murray stock.
Right.
Give it to me.
Let's jump to the next one. Daniel Jones, 22 years old. Last year, he threw 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Quarterback rating of 87.7. Daniel Jones, are you buying or selling the quarterback for the New York Giants?
I'm selling Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean.
Sell.
I could see that.
Sell.
What's Daniel? I mean,
listen, the numbers are on par with the other quarterbacks that we're buying up.
That's true.
If you had to buy up the stock, you know.
Okay. Is it? I'm not buying the Giants. I'm selling the Giants.
Sell.
I'm selling their coaching staff. I'm selling.
Sell.
I think they're going to, if he has any talent, I think they're going to ruin it. I think that they're going to, you know, not use his potential. He may be better than he actually is, than they'll allow him to be, but I don't think they're going to do him any favors.
You know, on first glance, and I mean, you know, look at the quarterback rating. Daniel Jones, 3-9. Yeah. Right, like as a starter,
yeah.
not great, right?
Yeah.
Sell.
First glance, I thought automatically a sell. Yeah. The stats are there, though.
24 touchdowns,
stats
completion percentage of 62,
quarterback rating of
87.7.
Overrated analysis. How about this one? Have you ever heard this one with Daniel Jones?
Mm.
He went to Duke, so he must be smart. Have you heard that one before?
No.
Bye.
Think that might have to be a buy.
I'm selling Daniel Jones. I'll probably be wrong, but whatever.
Sell.
Gardner Minshew, the 23-year-old. He threw for 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions last year. 91.2 quarterback rating for Gardner Minshew. I'm going to lead the way. I'm selling him.
I know you
sell,
are.
Sell.
I could have. If that was,
don't
if
buy,
I could have bet
buy,
on
don't
that.
Buy, don't buy. Don't buy. Sell.
21 touchdowns in 14 games. He started 12 of those games. A quarterback rating of 91.2. He only threw, where are the interceptions? He threw 6 interceptions. I don't know, man.
Don't buy.
I'm buying Minshew.
Buy.
I'm buying Minshew. I'm going to buy low. I don't know the Jacksonville schedule early this season, but I feel like if they start 0-2, that stock's going to be low. I'm going to swoop in. I'm going to buy me some Gardner Minshew.
And the last three on the young quarterback list, I would assume that we would all place this in the buy category. Chances are you're not buying these stocks because they're already too high. So you're probably not going to make much profit off of it, but
Buy.
Deshaun Watson,
buy.
Patrick Mahomes,
buy.
Lamar Jackson,
buy.
Right? Like,
that's not who I thought you were going to say.
Right, those
that
are
is
the
not
three.
Who I thought you were going to say.
Who would you think?
You were going to give me some rookies. I thought you were going to give me like Tua. You know,
well,
I thought
we can get to the rookies, but those three who are in the league right now played,
those
are obvious
buys,
right?
I don't know. I don't think so. Price is too high at this point.
For
it's
Patty?
Not, yeah,
for
it's
Pat
not.
Mahomes?
Yeah, that's no value there. You needed to get in day one.
Well, I mean, that would have been nice.
Yeah.
So is that what you think you're doing with Gardner Minshew there?
Don't buy.
No, that's what I think I'm doing with Kyler Murray. And yeah, that's what I think I'm doing. With Gardner Minshew on Pro Football Reference, his nicknames are Mustache or Jockstrap King.
Well, yes. No, I'm aware of that.
Who calls him Mustache? He has a mustache, I get it, but who calls him Mustache?
I have no idea. All right, give me the rookies. Tua Tagovailoa, are you buying or selling? I'm buying Tua.
I'm buying Tua.
Buy.
You and I have been all over this. I'm buying Tua Tagovailoa. I'm buying who's the
Justin
kid?
Herbert for the Chargers.
Oh, sell Herbert.
Sell.
Sell
don't
Herbert.
Buy. Don't buy.
Get out of here with Herbert.
Sell
don't Herbert.
Buy. Don't buy.
Sell Herbert.
The best was the pre-draft conversation around Herbert, where he randomly one day jumped up the draft boards, and then people were like, hey, by the way, the scouts are suggesting this is Mitchell Trubisky 2.0. Just keep that in mind. The Chargers are like, yes, we're all in.
Bye.
Let's go. Let's get that Trubisky duplicate.
Bye.
So I agree.
Don't buy.
Selling on the Justin Herbert.
And what about the 45-year-old out of LSU,
Joe Burrow?
Are you buying or selling Joe Burrow? I feel like that's the point of contention. And then there's one guy, he's not actually going to start, but Jalen Hurts. I'd buy some Jalen, a little bit of Jalen Hurts stock.
I'm with you on Jalen Hurts. Joe Burrow, I would buy, even though I think it's going to be tough because the position players around him are not going to be great. So he's really going to be one of those rookie quarterbacks with a terrible team.
He's also an elder statesman at this point, you know.
Well, yeah. So does he fit the young quarterback? Because, you know, I went through this list, right? And I saw these other quarterbacks. I'm like, Dak, he's 26.
How old is Deshaun Watson?
Garoppolo, 28. Watson's 24.
Okay.
Kyler, 22. Yeah. Jared Goff, 25. Jameis, 25.
So, like,
all these guys,
24.
All these guys are too old, right?
Well, Watson's 24, and Joe Burrow is 23. He'll turn 24 during the season.
Then you get to Mitchell Trubisky, and he's 25.
So,
well, he's not a young quarterback.
Who's sitting?
Don't buy.
Listen, there's somebody sitting with a garage full of Mitchell Trubisky stock that he can't unload.
Penny stocks?
Yeah, that he can't. Well, you can get rid of penny stocks pretty easily, but you know, it's like buying Blockbuster stock. And you're like, what am I going to do with this now? Having a bunch of Trubisky stock is like having a bunch of Beanie Babies sitting in your garage at this point.
Coming up next, we will hear from John DeFilippo and Bill Lazor, who talk about the quarterback competition. They both spoke to the media earlier today. We're back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.